Welcome to Blocks and Talks, the podcast that brings you everything you need to know about LEGO, from covering past, present, and future LEGO sets to interviews with notable community members. Our show covers it all. Here we are with the last part of Dino Attack. We've pretty much wrapped up all the sets between Dino Attack and 2010, some of the lore itself. So now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the extras outside, such as the Dino Attack RPG we've been talking about these past couple episodes. So to help us with that, we figured we'd actually bring one of the creators, Peabody Sam. How are you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. And as always, we have Lorescape to join us and yap along. So how are you doing, Lorescape?
I'm doing great. I've encountered Peabody Sam many times before online under various usernames posting LEGO content.
Yeah, I think the first time you and I interacted was you had emailed me to ask me about some Space Police lore that I was referencing on a wiki.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And of course, I'd, even at that point, I'd seen your username before. It just hadn't registered to me that they were the same person. But that was good times.
Yeah. And then since then, we've met each other again on YouTube and Eurobricks. I guess it's not that surprising because those of us who are LEGO fans who aren't just interested in the sets, but also in the lore and the story, we're kind of few and far between, so you find one of us someplace, you're going to find us other places as well.
I'd figure. Yeah, and speaking of the lore, you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself, Sam? Like, who are you as like the LEGO dude and all that?
The lore of Peabody Sam that no one wanted to hear about. I could rant and bow about this for hours on end, but here's just kind of the short version. I think it's safe to say that I've been a lifelong fan of LEGO. Even as far back as my first birthday, I was ignoring my brand new presents and just going for the Duplo blocks that I had already known and loved. That was almost prophetic of the direction my whole life would take after that point. But having grown up in the 90s, I would say that another big passion of mine was dinosaurs. And that's because in the 90s, dinosaurs were everywhere. You had Jurassic Park, you had the Land Before Time sequels, there were tons of books and video games, and I just couldn't get enough of it. So while I was a LEGO fan before then, what really started my LEGO mania was the Adventurers Dino Island sets in 2000. After that, I subscribed to LEGO Mania magazine and LEGO Shop at Home catalogs. And of course, that exposed me to other LEGO themes with more dinosaurs, such as LEGO Studios, and of course the Dinosaurs theme in 2001. But by looking past my childhood obsession with dinosaurs, I was exposed to a whole bunch of other themes, like Alpha Team, Life on Mars, Bionicle, LEGO Island, Rock Raiders, Knight's Kingdom. So not only was I infected with incurable LEGO mania at that point, but also, keep in mind, these were all themes that had a large focus on story and characters as well. So I think that played a big role in me being really interested in the story and characters of various LEGO themes, which in turn led to me being really interested in telling my own stories and creating my own characters within this world that LEGO had built. In particular, my Bionicle interest led me to check out the fan website BZ Power. And of course, while I was a Bionicle fan, I found myself feeling right at home in the LEGO General Discussion subforum, where I was talking with other users about Knight's Kingdom and Alpha Team, Rock Raiders, LEGO Island. Again, all these being LEGO themes and games that had a lot of story and characters to them. So I was able to share my love and my passion with other like-minded LEGO fans, whether we were just talking about LEGO's official story or we were creating our own story.
Wow, that is quite the history. And I mean, that just sounds, like you said, it's almost prophetic, you know, always from step one, year one, going for the Duplo blocks all the way to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite the journey. And, you know, dinos seem to be like a main focal point. So you want to tell us a little more about how did that like convert into Dino Attack and then eventually the RPG itself? Can you give us just like a brief background on that?
So while Lego had replaced dinosaurs as my main passion, I was still very much interested in dinosaurs. So when Toy Fair 2005 rolled around, and there were new photos of this new upcoming Lego-themed Dino Attack, of course I was interested. Of course, you had adult fans of Lego on Eurobricks who were hating the new theme, but for those of us who were in the target demographic, such as myself, we thought this was really cool. The dinosaurs were cool, the vehicles were cool, the T1 Typhoon, oh, that was really impressive looking. Even among the theme's harshest critics, everyone agreed the T1 Typhoon looked really cool. And not only that, but this was a brand new take on the dinosaurs that LEGO had never really done before. This was almost Godzilla-esque. We had the heroes fighting mutant dinosaurs in this post-apocalyptic ruined city. The closest thing we ever came to that before was the LEGO Studios Movie Maker set. Now, the one thing I didn't like so much was the heavy emphasis on big weapons, guns, combat, and exterminating the dinosaurs. I much preferred the days of LEGO Adventurers when the heroes were trying to save the dinosaurs from the evil poachers. I think that if I had been part of that focus group that Greg Farshtey was talking about, I would have loved the prototypes. But I do remember there was an early press release that said that the heroes were capturing and taming the dinosaurs instead of trying to just kill them and exterminate them, wipe them out. So that was a little bit of a silver lining. It suggests that there was hope for the dinosaurs, that they were the antagonists, but they weren't necessarily villains, that they could still be saved. So between the new post-apocalyptic setting and the combat between the humans and the dinosaurs over the fate of the world, and that glimmer of hope that violence wasn't the answer, there was a ton of story potential here. And that is what leads us into the BZ Power RPGs. So when I say RPG, what am I talking about? Well, an RPG is a role-playing game, but that can mean a lot of things. You might be thinking of video games like Final Fantasy or tabletop games like Dungeons and Dragons. A lot of numbers, stats, experience points, leveling up, rolling dice, turn-based combat. Well, on BZ Power, RPGs meant something different. Something that doesn't have all these numbers and statistics and such, but shares something very important with all these other RPGs: an emphasis on story and characters. You're not just playing a game, you're immersing yourself in the world. You're seeing it through the eyes of the characters, who grow and develop as the story unfolds. And since BZ Power is a website forum, and doesn't have video game graphics or tabletop board game pieces, essentially, that's the barest component that a role-playing game is stripped down to, just the story itself. These types of forum RPGs are officially called play-by-post games. You play by writing a piece of story, you post it in the forum topic, and then you wait for the next person to write the next piece of story, and they post it. So it's less of a game, and it's more of collaborative round-robin storytelling, where each of us has a main character in this big overarching story that we're telling. So on BZ Power, probably the biggest and most famous RPG would be the BZP RPG, but in the LEGO General Discussion subforum, where I spent most of my time, the definitive RPG was Alpha Team Mission Deep Freeze RPG in 2004, which was hosted by one of my friends on BZ Power, who went by the handle of Victor Draven. And this is where I was introduced to the whole concept of RPGs. I got my foot wet in creating Alpha Team characters and going on missions and adventures with the characters of other BZ Power members, like Kotua in Space and Chronicler of Kokoro, who would both become good friends of mine during the RPG days. And while my writing skills were not good, I definitely think that being excited and wanting to write these little snippets of story every day helped me grow and develop and improve as a writer. So my experience with Alpha Team RPG inspired me to try my hand at hosting another LEGO RPG. So after a less than successful Johnny Thunder RPG, I turned my sights toward starting one based on Dino Attack. But why Dino Attack? That was a brand new Lego theme that a lot of people were interested in. It had a lot of hype surrounding it, and like I said, it had a lot of story potential. And many of my old friends and fellow players from the Alpha Team RPG were on board for partaking in the Dino Attack RPG. And all these factors together helped Dino Attack RPG get a very strong start in July 2005. And evidently, it was super successful that the original RPG ran for another 7.5 years, all the way through December 2012. And even now, all these years later, some of us RPG players, such as myself, Andrew Nuva 199, and Brickman McStuds, are still writing new stories to expand the lore and universe of Dino Attack RPG. Now, of course, the hype and excitement of a brand new LEGO theme is what got the RPG started in 2005. But I think what contributed to its long-lasting success was not just my own efforts, but that of my fellow players who formed a devoted player base who were all willing and wanting to see the story through to the end. People like Willow, Avmatoren, Aton Rand, Takunuva CO1, that guy from that show. I owe Dino Attack RPG's success to them, and when I ask them what they found so appealing about Dino Attack RPG, they tell me that it was the really in-depth lore and story that made it worth getting invested in it. The detailed story, the fleshed-out world, the dramatic narrative stakes, the myriad characters, and the connections with their favorite LEGO themes like Alpha Team, LEGO Island, and Adventurers, all these taking the basic but already appealing foundation of Dino Attack and really elevating it to a whole new level that really drew them in and held their interest for all these years.
All right, sounds great. And before we jump into the whole RPG itself, I just want to address some things. I know we talked in previous conversations prior to this episode on like little things and details in our episodes that you noted. You want to just like elaborate more on that? Because I think we're curious to hear a little more on what you noticed too.
Yeah, sure thing. So I was listening to the previous episodes, and it sounds to me like Dino Attack is a LEGO theme that you experienced either belatedly or only through LEGO.com. I was fortunate enough to get most of the sets and most of the publications in Shop at Home magazine and LEGO Brickmaster magazine, so I'd be happy to fill in some of the gaps in the information in your coverage of Dino Attack. Starting things off with the Mutant Lizard. You were talking a bit about the mutant lizards in the first episode, and I actually have a few of them on hand with me right now, so I can tell you in person that the mutant lizard is one single piece. It's kind of a rubbery plastic. That's not exactly something you can easily tell from the all the promotional CGI renders that they use in the box art. But what's also pretty cool is that they come in black, purple, and dark orange, but each lizard also has spots in a different color. The black mutant lizard in the Street Sprinter set actually has blue spots, whereas the black mutant lizard in the Firehammer set has yellow spots. So there's four different variations on lizards. And while the published media never names a species for the mutant lizards, if you use LEGO Digital Designer, you'll see that the brick is internally called Compi, which is short for Compsognathus. So that's probably as close as we can get to official confirmation on what dinosaurs the mutant lizards are supposed to be. And while we're on the subject of the dinosaurs, I just want to quickly highlight some really clever part reusage between the larger figures. The raptor arms, the pteranodon legs, and the T-Rex arms are actually all the same pieces. They all just look different based on the dinosaur's proportions and anatomy. For example, the raptor is small and lanky, whereas the T-Rex is big and bulky, so what looks like a long arm on the raptor looks like a short, stubby little limb on the T-Rex. And also, the raptor's body, tail, and lower jaw are all one single mold. The upper jaw is actually a separate mold, but it comes pre-attached. I don't know if there's a way to safely remove it without damaging it, but if we look at the pteranodon, you notice that it's the exact same body, tail, and lower jaw as the raptor. The only things that are different are the colors and the upper jaw. So theoretically, if you could swap the upper jaws, you would have a green raptor and a yellow pteranodon. to go with your green T-Rex and red T-Rex. Kind of like how in the online Flash game, each of the dinosaurs comes in green, yellow, and red. Another aspect of the Dino Attack scene that went unmentioned in the podcast is that each set also had an alternate model on the back of the box. The Street Sprinter has a sentry turret, the Urban Avenger, the Firehammer, and the Iron Predator have different takes on buggies, jeeps, and tanks. The T1 Typhoon, yet again, is a great standout. It has a really cool-looking jet. None of these have any official instructions, but there's a YouTube channel called Brothers in Arms Gaming. If you check them out, they've done a great job reverse engineering them. And what's also pretty interesting is that the Iron Predator and T1 Typhoon alternate models are pretty obscure, because later production runs removed the front flap from the boxes, probably to save on cardboard. So all the content and images had to be reshuffled onto the back of the boxes, and the altered models didn't make the cut. Probably because too many parents were complaining about inspiration models not having building instructions. But we do have building instructions for a combiner model, the High Voltage Half Track, which is a combination of the Fire Hammer and the Iron Predator. And this only came in the Brickmaster magazine. Its lore is that it's a newly designed vehicle that makes use of water and electric-based weaponry, twin electroprods, a high-powered taser device, a water cannon, and electro-launchers. Basically, as AndrewNuva199 once described it in the RPG, it's one big toaster in the bathtub. And speaking of weapons in the RPG, I definitely needed to mention this. So back in the first episode, you talked a bit about the Cosmotronic Ray and the Sonic Screamer, and you mentioned their official descriptions, and I was definitely very flattered that you called these official descriptions, but the truth is, what you were reading comes straight from the Dino Attack RPG wiki, and not from any official LEGO lore. Strictly speaking, the Cosmotronic Ray's only lore is that it is the only weapon effective against Raptor force fields. The Sonic Screamer, we assume, uses sonic weaponry, but that's just extrapolation that was created by us RPG players. So it's kind of funny to think now that we're getting to the point where LEGO lore and Dino Attack RPG lore are starting to be conflated among fans.
Yeah, and I guess... you go ahead.
Sorry. It's, I think, easy to do that because a lot of the material on there is really compelling and detailed, and there are a lot of crossovers with other LEGO properties that I think definitely scratches an itch that a lot of us that are interested in the lore side have. So apart from the fact, I think, that when you type in Dino Attack into a search engine, like, you're going to get a lot of pages from the wiki, the search results. There's just a lot of stuff that would be super compelling, I think, to any LEGO fan looking for information on Dino Attack.
Yeah, I think that's also just a testament to the quality of the work and effort you put in, to the point where, you know, a reader like us who didn't really have knowledge coming in before, we just read that, and just because of the way it was written and styled it, we just thought, like, hey, this probably is the official description. Like, yeah, oops on our
end. I don't want to say, too, that having seen the Dino Attack wiki over the years, for many, many years, less so now, still on some pages, but it's better written and with more detail than the Brick wiki, Brickopedia, the you know, still unofficial but main source for information on LEGO sets and characters and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And for the past couple of years, I've been trying to edit Brickopedia because I know a lot of people use it and cite it for LEGO information. So I do want to make sure that this information is fleshed out and accurate.
Yeah, and for the listeners, if you're curious about checking out the wiki, we will actually link it in the description. So feel free to click and browse and see for yourself what you think about it. And there's actually an interesting point that was brought up about, like, you know, cross themes and all that. And I think that was one of the key things that initially captured my interest with wanting to do a Dino Attack history. Like, I know in the wiki, we read things all about, like, being involved with Alpha Team and I think Ogle and all those things. So you want to just give us, I guess, now that we, like, kind of realize that it's not canon and more so like a fan creation, you want to just tell us a little more about Just a background on including all these other themes, how you were able to integrate them so smoothly and create this entire storyline that is incorporated into the RPG story.
So like I said, I'm a big fan of LEGO themes with emphasis on story and characters. And of course, I'm also a big fan of when these stories and characters interact with one another in these big crossovers, whether it was these comics in LEGO Mania magazine or video games like LEGO Island 2. I really loved watching Pepperoni meet King Leo and Johnny Thunder rather than just being segregated into their own separate themes. So Dino Attack officially just shows how the dinosaur outbreak affected cities, but I always wondered, what about the rest of the LEGO world? How did our other favorite LEGO themes get affected by the Dino Attack? And because Dino Attack RPG follows the rule of thumb that all LEGO canon is canon, we can look at crossovers like LEGO Island 2 and Soccer Mania and say, okay, adventurers and pirates and space might take place in separate time periods in the real world, but here, they're all taking place at the same time. So we can see how all of them are affected in the year 2010 when the Dino Attack happens. I think exploring this idea of how the Dino Attack affected these other themes really paid off. Like my fellow RPG player said, it created narrative stakes when your favorite LEGO themes are in peril. You have Adventurers fans seeing Adventurers Island being ravaged by war as the Tum Tum tribe and the native dinosaurs are trying to defend their home from the invading mutants. When you're a LEGO Island fan and you see that a mutant raptor has torn up the Constructopedia so the whole island is desolate. When you're an Alpha Team fan and you see that even Ogle is desperately trying to fortify his bases to protect his evil empire from the mutant dinosaurs. That creates that connection, that personal stake. You're really motivated and driven to save the places and the characters that you know and love so much. So, rather fittingly, the RPG depicts the Dino Attack team not just as soldiers and scientists, but also this big hodgepodge of pirates and knights and astronauts who are all coming together to save their world. And speaking of Ogle, part of the whole crossover aspect of the RPG, and especially its involvement with Alpha Team, actually comes from that original Toy Fair 2005. These sets didn't have finalized minifigures, so instead of Digger and Shadow and Viper and Specs, you had Diamond Tooth and Flex from Alpha Team Mission Deep Freeze. So those of us from Alpha Team Mission Deep Freeze RPG were looking at this and thinking, oh, Dino Attack might be the next Alpha Team mission. And not only that, but the mutant dinosaurs, while we never got an official explanation, they seemed like something right out of Ogle's repertoire. In the November-December 2001 LEGO Mania magazine comic, he was already mind-controlling dinosaurs as his evil minions. And just a couple of months later in Mission Deep Sea, he was mutating marine life into evil black and red sea monsters. So many of us thought initially that the mutant dinosaurs were created by Ogle. And I ended up leaning into that whole crossover idea with how the Dino Attack RPG explained the mutant dinosaurs' origins. As a bit of a twist, Ogle was not behind the Dino Attack, but he did create the mutation formula. And that formula involved the Maelstrom from LEGO Universe. The villains of the RPG, Dr. Rex and Zurd, they were using Ogle's formula and the Maelstrom on the dinosaurs from Adventurers to create the mutant dinosaurs and unleash them across the globe. It only seemed fitting that the RPG, being such a big crossover, would require a crossover of LEGO themes to explain the Dino Attack.
Yeah, and just a little context for those unfamiliar, Ogle and Alpha Team and such. They're just characters from older LEGO themes from around the time. So in case you're curious, you're always free to take a quick look at that. And before we jump a little more into the RPG, I know, Lorescape, you've been wanting to ask a lot of things about it. So I want to give you the reins on, you know, asking Sam more about the Dino Attack RPG itself and the whole story. So feel free.
Yeah, when we were talking earlier, I noticed that The wiki was started around 2009, which was 4 years after the theme came out, which based on the release cycle at the time is about 2 years after it kind of would have faded away as an intellectual property and something that folks would be aware of. So what inspired you guys to start the wiki and keep it going over all these years, even after the kind of the initial game had stopped running?
Well, there were a number of contributing factors that led to the creation of the wiki, one of which is just the fact that by 2009, there was 4 years worth of RPG backstory, in addition to whatever backstory we were pulling from Alpha Team Mission Deep Freeze RPG and Pirates RPG, in addition to whatever backstory we were pulling from official LEGO canon in this big crossover. That's a lot of information that made it hard for newcomers to easily join in. And that's not even getting into the fact that there was a BZ Power forum database error in early 2009 where we lost about 6 months worth of storyline. And on top of all that, those of us who were in the RPG by 2009 were older and more mature and experienced writers who were looking back upon our earlier days from 2005, 2006, 2007, and realizing that a lot of what we wrote back then wasn't very good and didn't necessarily fit the canon that we had established by 2009. As much as I love crossovers between LEGO themes, even I had to admit that that one time in 2006 where Dino Attack RPG forgot that it was Dino Attack and tried to be Bionicle meets Exoforce, that was going too far, and that was very quickly declared non-canonical. So the wiki was created just as like a means to solve all these problems. Because it could document all the storyline that had come before, it could easily catch up any new players as well as refresh the memories of older players on what had come before and where we are now. And the wiki also helped sort out what was canon and what was no longer canon. And it also helped to fill in that missing gap of story from early 2009, which actually led to the wiki's most important purpose today, which is after BZ Power was maliciously hacked in 2013, so much of the original RPG was lost forever. When I was creating the downloadable archive for the RPG, I was able to go to the articles that were kept up to date and well documented. And while they can never replace what was lost, at least I was able to use their summaries to fill in the missing gaps of storyline. Today, I'm really the only one who still contributes to the wiki. It's just kind of a side hobby of mine. There's so much to do, and it's never finished. And especially now that I know that fans like you are looking to the wiki and might not know what is from Dino Attack RPG and what comes from LEGO, one of my big projects now is adding citations to all the articles to separate that out. So if something comes from a LEGO publication, now there's a proper reference and a citation.
It was impressive to me how clear in your mind, you know, the distinctions between Dino Attack and the Dino Attack RPG material were, even after all these years. If I'm making my own conjectures about what links LEGO themes together or something like that, I tend to sometimes forget that I'm painting a clearer picture than might actually exist. But it was impressive to me, you know, even though you guys originated a lot of that material, that you were able to draw that clear distinction.
Well, it's a blessing and a curse, to be honest. Of course, as the person who was running Dino Attack RPG, I can recall most of its storyline, especially whatever I had created myself. As someone who was subscribed to all these LEGO publications and always following the official storylines on LEGO.com, I'm able to pull from my memory of most of it. But at the same time, I kind of feel like I'm wasting so much of my memory on this useless knowledge that doesn't have any merit outside of my LEGO fandom.
Yeah, so I just have a couple things I wanted to ask. Well, I know like this RPG has been running for a very, very long time, like over a decade at this point. Like it's actually very impressive. And I guess we'll give our perspective on it and then I'll give you a chance to comment on it. It's like, I guess from like my perspective as like a viewer, seeing something so well established with its own wiki, full storyline, like running over a decade long, like you said, like this thing requires a community of people working together and actually interacting with the quote unquote game to keep it running. So, you know, that's like a very impressive feat to pull off. So in my eyes, like, I think the legacy here that I see as like a outsider is that this is an unofficial canon, or I would consider this canon over the what LEGO has, as blasphemous as that might sound to some LEGO purists. But I just want to like give a comment on it, like how I see it. So I'm just curious how you see, like from like a creator standpoint, how do you see like the impact and legacy of your RPG to like the overall LEGO community and even Dino Attack as a whole?
Well, that's definitely a blasphemous statement for sure, but it's one that my fellow longtime RPG players would agree with you upon. The idea that Dino Attack RPG has essentially superseded LEGO Dino Attack in our minds as the definitive version of the story. But it's not something that I hear very often, or at all, actually, from the greater LEGO community. I still think of Dino Attack RPG as fairly niche, if I'm honest. It's pretty obscure, and I don't think it's had much of a lasting impact across the LEGO fandom or the LEGO community. But every now and then, I do see some positive impact that it's had upon other LEGO fans. Back in 2012, I made a Flash animation called Dino Attack Legacy, which was intended as one big loving tribute to Dino Attack RPG. And for its 10th anniversary in 2022, I made a remastered version. And one of the things that really caught me by surprise was the number of people commenting on the animation that they had nostalgic memories for Dino Attack Legacy. These were people who probably never even heard of Dino Attack RPG before. And it was honestly really touching to hear that something I had created was now a nostalgic childhood memory for these other LEGO fans. People I've never known or met, but I've made a positive lasting impact upon them. Another group of fans that we attracted over the years would be this group of brick filmers called Mustache Maniacs Film Company. They've included a number of the RPG's characters in some of their more recent animations. And it's really thrilling kind of seeing some of my old characters being brought to life in this way. And of course, there's the fact that I'm here right now on this podcast talking to you guys. You invited me on. You wanted me to talk about the RPG and my own history with LEGO Dino Attack. And I'm just so honored to be here on your show that to have the opportunity to speak about something that I have so much love and passion for.
Yeah, and we're honored to have you and Lorescape alike, you know, having really unique and iconic guests in the community to join us and actually talk to us is always an honor. So thank you for that.
I'm definitely honored to be here. Thank you so much.
And I mean, you're very humble about it, to be honest. Like, those are big feats to have, you know. Like, not everyone can say that their work has influenced a lot of people's childhood and core memories. So that is, you know, no small feat in it itself. And yeah, I mean, I guess with Dino Attack RPG and outside of that, like, are there any plans to eventually end it, or is this something that's going to be evergreen? And outside of that, like, are there any other, you know, potential projects within LEGO that you plan to pursue and want to share about?
Well, like we said, even now, 19 years after the RPG started and 12 years after the RPG officially ended, my mind is still always so full of new stories to tell set within the Dino Attack RPG universe. And I'm always eager to write them, I'm always eager to tell them, share them with my fellow RPG players, whether or not anyone actually reads them. I don't know, but I just do it because I love it so much. And also a couple years ago, in 2020, Andrew Nuva 199 got several of us old Dino Attack RPG players together on Discord so that we could partake in a 15th anniversary collaboration just kind of us getting back together and writing about what our characters have been up to in the years after the Dino attack, which has given all of us another opportunity to get the creative juices flowing again. And speaking of Mustache Maniacs Film Company, they asked me to come on board and write a few stories for their upcoming story collection, which will feature some of the characters and stories that I originally came up with for Dino Attack RPG. That will be called Tales Across the World, and it will be released on their website, currently scheduled for November, I think. It got delayed recently. Now, truth be told, I do find that one of the issues of writing for Dino Attack RPG is, like I said before, it's really niche, even within the LEGO community, which in turn makes it very hard for me to share my stories and my passion with family and friends who aren't into LEGO. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an adult writing fan fiction for Danish building toys. Not exactly the best selling point. So while I continue to write for Dino Attack RPG Expanded Universe, and I still have plans to finish this one rewrite of an old Bionicle fanfiction that I wrote back on BZ Power, eventually I know one day I'm going to have to put this all to bed. And I am looking forward to applying my writing skills that I've developed to writing brand new original stories that aren't shackled to their LEGO roots, that I can freely share with friends and family without, the stigma associated with LEGO fanfiction. And kind of an overlap between those two ideas is that I don't have to necessarily throw away Dino Attack RPG and that Bionicle fanfiction, that two of the stories that I have in mind for when I wrap this up would be taking the overarching stories and rewriting them. It would have to be a ground-up rewrite from scratch, but rewriting them in a way that cuts away the LEGO roots and allows me to write these as brand new original stories that, if you're aware of LEGO's history, you will certainly spot the influence from Dino Attack and Bionicle, but otherwise, to anyone else, this would be a brand new original story that anyone can enjoy, and that's what I want to do in the future. And this isn't without precedence, because I've heard that there were some prolific Bionicle fanfiction writers who got their start on BZ Power, and are now writing original stories and having them published. That's kind of the path that I want to take.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. It seems like you have a whole list of cool items to do in front of you. Just really thank you for sharing. And, you know, does anyone have any like last comments or remarks they want to make? I'll take this.
I did want to point out that Sam had done a really cool YouTube video called the Sam Sinister Switcheroo, all about adventurers and the history of that theme and the different names that were used and stuff like that. It's been really cool for fans of the lore like me. It was a cool undertaking.
Yeah, thank you. And if you can believe it, that video is already outdated. Since I posted it, a couple of LEGO fans have already come forward and helped identify some of the missing sources. Like, for example, Ulrich Anhalt was right there all along in the Orient Expedition board game instructions. I have no idea how I missed that for all these years. But yeah, that was definitely the biggest video I've ever worked on, so if you want to hear me rambling and ranting nonstop for an hour and a half about esoteric LEGO lore, that's the video to check out.
Yeah, it's always...
I do. I've played it twice. But also, I just want to say that the idea of Bionicle fanfiction writers, having success outside of that niche as in the real world is awesome. So I hope that you have success with that. And I would love for the next big, sci-fi property to be something that had its distant origins in something like the Dino Attack RPG. That'd be cool.
Well, who knows? I made a video pointing out all the similarities between Horizon Zero Dawn and Bionicle, so there very well could be Bionicle and LEGO fans who are now out there creating the next big franchise for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, of course, and speaking on that YouTube video, actually, Sam, before we wrap up, do you want to share any of your social media or any of that for the audience to check out?
Well, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. I'm a bit of an old man when it comes to social media. I'm not on TikTok or Instagram or anything like that. Even these days on LEGO forums like BZ Power and Eurobricks, I don't really post all that often anymore, but you'll find me there as PBD Sam. I also post some of my stories and artwork on DeviantArt as PBD Sam. I am on Discord as PBD Sam. You can find me on Twitter and Reddit, but I'm not very active on either website. But if you do find me, then my username is PBD Sam with an underscore at the end. I have to specify that because someone already claimed my username on both websites. So if you have any doubts about whether a PBD Sam is me on any given website, if they're talking about LEGO, Nintendo, or Valve, that's probably me. But still, be careful of any imposters out there. And of course, my YouTube channel is Vaison Wireless. That's a pun on Verizon Wireless, referencing a Bionicle character named Vaison. And if you can believe that, that's actually my secondary YouTube channel. My primary YouTube channel is Peabody54M, which is for everything that is not LEGO, mainly my interest in, say, Nintendo games and Valve games. But since I imagine anyone listening to this podcast is a LEGO fan, then Vaison Wireless is the YouTube channel you want to check out.
I mean, it sounds great, yeah. And of course, Lorescape, can't forget you. Really appreciate you being with us the whole journey. Is there anything you wanted to share one last time?
I'm Lorescape on YouTube. I have some more videos coming out. I'm working on one about the UFO series that I'm pretty excited about. We did a cute little intro to this series, the Dino Attack podcast series. So if you're interested in that, I would go and watch it. It's fun. It's been great collaborating with you guys and getting to research this theme, which I didn't have a lot of history with myself. But getting to do a deep dive on LEGO original themes is always awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking to both of you guys. And, you know, if you guys ever want to talk about a new project or something you're working on, just shoot us a message and we'd love to talk about it on the show. So yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Really hope you guys enjoyed the whole Dino Attack series. Be sure to keep an eye out for the next history of, as Josh and I are cooking something cool up. And yeah, thanks for listening everyone, and take care. Till next time. Alrighty, so